The sermon was originally preached on Easter Sunday, on April 13, 1952. The sermon text is Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven, and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice!" And they came and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." In the name of Jesus, the Savior, newly alive from the grave, dear Christian friends and fellow redeemed. If we compare the two great Christian festivals of Christmas and Easter, and the question were asked which of them is the greater, the answers we would receive might well differ. But the answers would not differ more than the two festivals themselves. Each of them has its own message, which Christians since ancient times have used as their festival greeting. Beautiful words that do wonderful things to the believing heart. At Christmas, the cry goes forth, "Christ is born." At Easter time, the salutation proclaims, "Christ is risen." How differently our hearts respond to these messages, because they are so different, both in purpose and in spirit. Christ is born. We know that to be an invitation to come to the manger at Bethlehem, there to gaze and wonder and adore and linger, to come back again and again, and at last to leave reluctantly, because time hastens on. For there, in the manger, lies our life and our hope. Come hither, ye faithful. O come, let us adore him. This is the spirit of Christmas. Easter speaks in other tones, quite the opposite, in fact. Christ is risen. In those words lie only a hasty, fleeting invitation, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." Its real message is, "He is not here." This faces us away. It sends us away. Twice are the words repeated in our text, once by the angel and once by the risen Savior himself. Go quickly. Everything about the Easter story emphasizes this, and our outward as well as inward observance of this festival ought to be in the spirit. Permit me to show you that Easter means, and our theme in parts, a swift departure from the sepulcher or tomb. For part one, that is what happened at Easter. Part two, that is what Easter promises us. And part three, that is what Easter urges upon us. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. At the early purple dawning, as one of our hymn writers says, was the time of the great Easter miracle, a time when human eyes cannot penetrate the darkness, when the night is still deep, when the ebb and flow of life is at its lowest in sleeping men and women. But that is not the hour of which our Easter gospel tells us. The report we are considering concerns itself with what happened after the Easter rising of Jesus. As to what happened at his rising, we must rely upon other information. Before us lies a scene of great confusion. The quiet of the garden is shattered by violence. A light that is not from the rising sun falls down from heaven. The earth trembles and shakes, but cannot dislodge the great stone that stands against the door of the grave. It requires the power of a mighty angel to bring the stone down with a crash to the shaking ground. But the confusion is not all outward. We also behold it in the hearts of men. People are going the wrong way and are looking in the wrong direction. Women are walking toward the garden, we are told, to see the sepulcher. The very earth heaves as though it would turn them away, telling them the grave of Jesus is the last thing that they should want to see this beautiful morning. They heed it not, but go right on. In their hearts, this seems still to be Good Friday. Their interests are in death and burial. The guards, who were so near to the great event, are steadfastly looking at the grass. They have their eyes buried in it, being flat on their faces with fright and terror. It was a time for leaping with joy, and above all, a time to lift redeemed faces to the sky in praise and thanksgiving, for that one thing had taken place which alone could have produced all this confusion. There had been an earlier swift departure from the sepulcher, very swift, noiseless, no struggle, no pushing or groaning, no clash of armies. The strife is over, the battle won. If this had not been true, the silence of death would have reigned on earth that day, and deep in hell alone would there have been any activity. There Satan would have been dressing his forces for parade and appointing his lieutenants to command over the vast kingdom that he took when he laid the Lord of glory into his grave forever. But now there comes an angel of light and opens an empty tomb, so undisturbed that the grave clothes are still lying exactly as though their hollow center still held the body. Jesus, our Savior, having slept in peace, in triumph has left behind his grave. With permission from no human, he has left the sepulcher forever, and between the folds of his grave clothes are the ashes of the sins that we should see no more, our sins, the sins that had caused those bloody wounds. The crown of thorns has faded away, and nothing more is heard of it. In his haste, the Savior leaves the stone to his serving spirit and never glances at it. He is away. Away from the tomb, away from death, mission accomplished, eternal glory and immortality are in his hands to give wherever he pleases. The Son of Righteousness arises to meet the rays of the Easter dawn. That is what happened at Easter. And that is what Easter means to us. For Easter promises a swift departure from the sepulcher. We see this beautifully portrayed in the experience of the women disciples. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. The women were headed for the grave, and in that statement we can express what seems to be the unconquerable sorrow of all the human race. Look at them. They busy themselves on the way with desperate thoughts and plans, as we hear from other accounts. They think they will find a tightly sealed grave. They ponder on what to do about the stone, and they find no answer among themselves. Just gloom. They anticipate problems and as yet have no hope. There you see the world without Easter, and the unbelieving world even today. Theirs is nothing but a daily walk toward their graves. And though they are busy chattering and planning and building very comfortable lodgings for themselves along the way, they know very well that their last home will be a grave for which they do not have the key. They pretend to have some plans about outwitting death, but their bodies and their souls, laden with sins, guilt, and debt to God, which they can never pay, prove them to be liars. There is no hope for them. There is just the grave, and they are facing it. Easter changes all that with a simple promise that confronts the women. He is not here. He is risen. Turn around. Turn away from the grave. Hasten to Galilee. There you shall see Jesus. It may seem strange that this message always speaks of Galilee, and no mention is made of the fact that the risen Lord will also appear to them on the way and in Jerusalem. The urgent command is go to Galilee. Why? Oh, because that was home to the women, indeed, and to all the band of early disciples. Out of Galilee the Savior had first appeared, and thence he would return. Thus the joy is held out to the disciples, go toward home. You are free from this evil city, Jerusalem, forever, this place of death where the Lord was killed. You will return home where your people are, and there, far from the grave, you shall be reunited with your Savior. That, my friends, is exactly the promise that Easter holds for us. Because the Lord is risen, the ransom for our sins is certainly paid. The vast labor is done that set us free, and the way is open. Let us flee the grave and go home. We know where that home is. It is not a small plot in a cemetery, nor is it in this evil world. We shall have to pay a brief visit to our grave, but Easter says, you shall go to your home, and there you shall see him. Jesus lives, and thus my soul, life eternal, waits for thee. Join to him thy living head. Where he is, thou too shalt be. With himself at his right hand, victor over death shall stand. Lutheran Hymn 188, verse 4. Meanwhile, however, there is something else in the meaning of Easter which commands our attention. For a swift departure from our grave to the heavenly Galilee, we shall wait in hope. Yet we ought immediately now face away from the grave, for we have a life of service to live. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, rejoice. And they came and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. It was to be some time before the women disciples were to be able to travel to Galilee for the reunion, yet the angel would not allow them to dawdle their time away at the sepulchre. It was not fitting for them, the bearers of life-giving news, to dwell in the habitation of the dead. Go quickly and tell. That was the order, to depart swiftly and to proclaim the good news. They had indeed been transported into a new life, a life where Jesus was not dead but living, where there was happiness of heart and courage and power. For the sake of this life, they left the grave and hastened on their mission. Whether men believed them or mocked them, they were to go and tell, Jesus is risen. Wonderfully, as they obeyed this duty, Jesus met them on the way, not waiting until they got to Galilee. They were met by him, allowed to embrace his feet, worship him, and thus be strengthened in their faith toward a new life of service. This meaning of Easter certainly applies to us also. It urges us to depart from the old grave of sin and to go forth while we have time, to proclaim the message of life, not alone by words, but by a life of righteousness. For just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, Romans 6:4. This is extremely important. Our spiritual death is over. We are united with God through the resurrection of Jesus. We are justified servants of the living King. Surely this does not permit us to dwell in the chambers of wickedness. We are witnesses of him who lives in our hearts and through whom we have everlasting life. Doing this, we will also meet him on the way. His gracious feet are to be seen and touched in the word and sacrament which he has left for us, that we may strengthen ourselves thereby. Here we find him as we hasten from the sepulcher, and he makes us glad. He sends us home for a future with him, both now on earth and later in his own heavenly home. There we shall with thee remain partners of thy endless reign. There thy face unclouded see, find our heaven of heavens in thee. Lutheran Hymn 213, verse 6. Amen.